As we move through the Bible, we have come now to the 17th chapter of Acts. We'd like you to turn with us this morning to the first three verses of chapter 17. We'd like to look at the first three verses this morning. Paul had come to the city of Thessalonica, and as was his custom, he went for three Sabbath days to the synagogue, and we read there that he reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that the Messiah must needs have suffered and rise again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is the Messiah. It says that Paul reasoned to them out of the scriptures. It is interesting today that many people have the opinion when a person receives Jesus Christ, he is sort of given leave of his senses. But that is far from the truth. When a person receives Jesus Christ as his Lord and his Savior, he has finally come to his senses. Believing that Jesus is the Messiah is very reasonable. God has given to man a very reasonable offer. In fact, God said, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, you can be as white as snow." The salvation that God has offered to us is very reasonable. That God should send a Savior into the world is very reasonable. Surely the world needed and does need a Savior. In fact, it is so reasonable, you have to search for some reason not to accept it. Those who reject Jesus as the Messiah do so because they have been deceived by Satan. The Bible says that the God of this world has blinded their eyes that they cannot see. The rejection of Jesus is a totally unreasonable stance. The prophet Isaiah, speaking of the dilemma, said, "Having eyes to see, they see not, and ears to hear, they hear not, lest at any time they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears and be saved." Paul says that professing themselves to be wise, they have actually become fools. And because they did not want to retain the knowledge of God, God gave them over to reprobate minds. Paul, in talking about the man of sin, the Antichrist, that will soon be coming on the world scene, speaking of him, Paul said that he's going to be deceiving the people. And that because they did not have a love for the truth, God will give them over to a strong delusion, that they would believe lies rather than the truth. People just don't stop to think. God said, "Oh, that they were wise, that they understood, that they would consider the latter end." But that's something that people don't do. When you start getting involved in sin, you don't look down the road and see where the path is leading you. When a person gets started in drugs, you don't look down and see what this is going to do to you. You don't consider that this is going to get a hold on your life and ultimately going to destroy you. When people start getting involved in alcohol, they don't look down the road and see the destruction that alcoholism is, how it destroys. And it's true if you get involved in practices such as homosexuality, adultery and all. You don't look down and you don't see the consequences. The Bible says that there is a way that seems right to men, but the end of it is death. And people are just blithely and blindly entering into things that are destructive by their very nature and by their very character. And God said, oh, that they were wise. Oh, that they would understand this. That they would consider what's going to happen in continuing this path and continuing this course of activity, what it's going to do to you. Twice through the prophet Habakkuk, God called the people to consider your ways. The author of the book of Hebrews said, consider Jesus Christ. And that's what I would like you to do today. Consider Jesus Christ. Paul the Apostle took the scriptures and he reasoned with them out of the scriptures, alleging to them and showing them that according to the scriptures, the Messiah had to suffer and die and rise again. And that Jesus, who he preached to them, was the Messiah. The Bible tells us that man professing himself to be wise actually became a fool, because he began to worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. And because they didn't want to retain God in their minds, God gave them over to reprobate minds. I'm always alarmed and amazed at what man, the ridiculous and foolish things that man will believe once he has rejected the truth. You open yourself up and you become a prey for every kind of weird belief. I'm amazed at how many intelligent people, how many college professors head over to India to sit at the feet of Sai Baba, who claims that he is God in the flesh. That he had an experience in which he transcended from human into the divine. And they go over there and they endure the heat, the smells, the hardship, the filth, to sit at this man's feet, believing that he is indeed God and trying to find the path to God. I'm amazed that people believe the theory of evolution. I think that it is the most irrational theory that has ever been invented in the minds of evil men. To look at the wonders of the human body, your organs and how they function, the brain and its capacities to decide, to understand, to store knowledge, to make rational decisions, to interpret the sights and the sounds, to look at the digestive system of the body, to look at the heart as it pumps the blood to the cells of your body, bringing oxygen and nutrients. To look even at the shape of the blood cell. You see, it has to carry a maximum amount of volume with a minimum amount of friction. And It can't reverse. It's got to keep flowing in the same. If your blood reversed, you know, you'd be in big trouble. So it has to keep flowing in the same direction. And the veins have to expand and contract to let the blood cells through. And you look at the design of the blood cell, it sort of looks like a dog bone in a sense, large on the ends and narrow in the middle, and thus carrying a maximum amount of blood with a minimum amount of friction. And it was interesting when they fed into a computer the model for carrying maximum amount of volume with a minimum amount of friction, in taking all of the factors, feeding it into a computer to get a graphic printout of what shape would be necessary. It is the exact shape of the blood cell. Now, as you look at the human body with all of its marvels, how can a reasoning, rational person say that this was all just fortuitous occurrences of accidental circumstances? This was just a series of accidents. Here you are. You see, the theory of evolution says that matter acting on matter, given sufficient time, can bring anything into existence. And thus they say that they are explaining your existence because of matter acting on matter, given a sufficient amount of time, here you are, it's created you. And all of the other life forms. I have a new watch that was given to me a while back. Very fascinating, because this watch happens to be in touch with the satellite. And the satellite feeds information to my watch. It updates the time every 15 minutes, correcting it with the atomic clock. So I really have no excuse for being late for anything anymore, because, this thing is right to the second with the atomic clock. If I cross over a time zone, it automatically changes into the new time zone. My watch tells me that today is going to be a high of 83 and a low of 64. That, the Dodgers lost last night, 4-3. That means their record is now 12 wins and 13 losses, so they're a little below 500. But the Padres, well, they lost 2-6. But they're doing better. They're 16-8, so they're off to a good start this season. The forecast for tomorrow is 83 and 64, much as today. The Angels, they lost 1-2 last night. Boy, they're not so good for the California teams. But they are 12-10, so they're a little 500, above 500 still. And Dow Jones average, well, it was 56.89 at the close on Friday, up 99. And there were 437 million shares exchanged. And my wife can page me anywhere in the U.S. This thing starts ringing, and I look, and it says, call home, you know. Quite a watch. Now, if I tried to tell you that, no, they really didn't buy this watch for me. I was out hiking the other day, and I came to an interesting outcropping of iron, and billions of years ago, a bolt of lightning hit that outcropping of iron and fused some of it into steel. And gradually over many, many years, through the wind and the rain and the erosion and all, it sort of shaped itself into sort of an oval shape. And then a cow died next to it, and somehow, through again the wind and the rain, the leather got tanned, and then somehow attached itself to this bit of steel. Then another lightning bolt hit some silicate sand nearby, formed into a crystal, and attached itself. It just happened to blow it onto the... Well, no, that was a hurricane. Blew it on into place. And then one day, the thing started changing second by second. And lo and behold, the angels lost 2-1. Woo. Now, if I would try and convince you that that's the way it happened, you'd say, "You're a few bricks short of a load, man. You're crazy." You see, why do we even laugh at the thought of it? Because it's unreasonable. And yet, this watch would have developed very early in the evolutionary processes because it's quite simple when compared to the human body. Nothing to this. You see, if matter acting on matter, given sufficient time, can bring anything into existence, then there's no need to go out and buy a new car. Just go out in the desert and look for one coming up out of the sand. Because matter's been acting on matter out there for many years. And imagine finding one with an Oldsmobile insignia that has a digitalized dash with Bose sound system. And hopefully it has a key evolved in it already so you can drive the thing off. But imagine having one that would repair itself. If your wife should smash a fender, no problem. Put it in the garage for a few days, let it rest, and it'll all straighten out. Self-repairing. If it gets a gas tank punctured as you're driving it out of the desert, don't worry. In just a few moments, the platelets in the gas will sort of thicken and seal it off, and it'll repair itself. It's just a marvelous bit of machine. And if you want a new little sports car, park it next to your wife's Cadillac in the garage, and 9 months you should be able to have a nice little combination of Oldsmobile Cadillac. We laugh, and rightly so, because it's ridiculous. It doesn't make sense. And yet, they look at the human body with its marvelous, sophisticated design, its capacity to repair itself, our capacity to think, our capacity to analyze and to make decisions and choices and all. And they say, well, it's just, fortuitous occurrences of accidental circumstances. No. But you see, when a man rejects the truth of God, as Paul said, then this man is setting himself up to be deceived. Because they did not have the love of the truth, they became gullible, and God gave them over to a delusion that they would believe a lie rather than the truth. God says, come on, let's reason together. Paul, it said, reasoned with them out of the scriptures concerning the Messiah. And he was proving to them that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. Paul, no doubt, was pointing to the scroll of Isaiah. And what is to us the 53rd chapter? He was probably pointing out to them where the prophet Isaiah, in speaking of the Messiah that was to come, declared, "He is despised and rejected. He is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. But surely he has borne our griefs. He's carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. For all of us, like sheep, had gone astray. We turned every one of us to our own ways, but God laid on him the iniquities of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, but as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his debt. But he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he hath put him to grief. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he will see his seed and prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Paul probably pointed that out. Here's what the prophet Isaiah said about your Messiah: that he was going to suffer, that he would be rejected, that he would be put to death. He probably pointed out Psalm 22, which we read this morning. Again, in speaking of the Messiah, who would cry, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And then answer, he was forsaken because of our sins and our iniquities that were put upon him. How that his hands and feet were to be pierced. How that they would part his garments among them, but would cast lot for his vesture. And so he opened the scriptures. He alleged out of the scriptures and proved to them that Jesus was the Messiah. And then in Psalm 16, no doubt pointed to them the fact that God promised that he would not leave his soul in hell, nor allow his Holy One, the Messiah, to see corruption. In other words, the prediction of his resurrection. And then Paul said that Jesus, whom I preach to you, is the Messiah. He showed them that these things that God said concerning the Messiah, that he would have to suffer but rise from the dead, and this Jesus, whom I preach to you, is the Messiah. And that he fulfilled more than 300 predictions from the Old Testament prophets concerning the Messiah. A mathematic impossibility that one person could fulfill all 300 predictions. And yet, Jesus did. Again, to show inconsistency and irrationality of unbelief, even among the Jews today, so many, their continued rejection of Jesus as the Messiah, it's irrational. You see, just a couple years ago, there was a rabbi by the name of Schneerson that thousands of Jews believed was the Messiah. In fact, they put banners all over Israel. They made placards, little stickers, that told the people, "Get ready, Messiah is coming." And they believed that Schneerson was the Messiah. And even after he died, there were many who were holding on to the hope that he would be resurrected from the dead and still be Messiah. Now, the interesting thing, that if you were of Jewish heritage and you wanted to make aliyah and go back and become a citizen in Israel, receiving help from the government in housing and so forth to get you established there. If you believe that Rabbi Schneerson was the Messiah, you were welcome to come back. Do Aliyah, become a Jewish citizen. In fact, if you believed in Islam and you were practicing the Islam faith, you could do Aliyah and become a Jewish citizen. If you were an atheist, you would be welcome to do Aliyah and to become a Jewish citizen. But if you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, you can't do Aliyah, you can't become a citizen. Interesting. It doesn't make sense. But that's what I'm trying to tell you. Sin doesn't make sense. Living in sin doesn't make sense. Because sin is so destructive in its very nature. God said, they don't consider. The Bible purports itself and proves itself to be the inspired Word of God. No other book has been so thoroughly examined by critics whose purpose was to find error, a fatal flaw, by which they could conclusively declare the Bible cannot be the inspired Word of God because the Bible says this. And find some statement in the Bible, some prediction, some contradiction, whereby they could conclusively prove that it is impossible that it is the inspired Word of God. Men for years, for centuries, have been going through the Bible with a fine-tooth comb trying to disprove it. Now, surely, if the fatal flaw existed, they would have found it a long time ago with as many men who have examined the Bible to find that flaw. The interesting thing, and of course, if you are an unbeliever, the dangerous thing to do is to search it for the flaw, because so many believers in searching have become believers, being convinced of the truth after a genuine search of the Scriptures. The internal evidences of inspiration are overwhelming. No other book has stood the test of time like the Bible. No other book has staked its authenticity upon its ability to accurately predict future events. Now, when you enter into the realm of predicting the future, 50% accuracy is not valid. 80% accuracy is not valid. 99% accuracy is not valid. To be valid, you have to have 100% accuracy. To declare one thing as going to happen that did not happen would invalidate all of the other correct predictions that you made. Up to the present moment, the Bible's still batting 1,000%. Not one good word has failed. Now, there is still some that is yet to be fulfilled, and it is fascinating as you look around the world today. What's the biggest, newest thing? Global community. I mean, you know, we're moving towards it. We're moving towards the global community. We're weakening the position of the United States militarily so that we will be forced to join the United Nations and, you know, the one world government, the global community, global society, and all of it's everywhere. being promoted, promulgated. And so your newspapers, Time and Newsweek and so forth, all of these articles upon the global community, and they say, news. No, it isn't news. The Bible told about it over 2,000 years ago. That's old hat. We're just catching up. But the amazing thing about the Bible is that it stakes its reputation upon the ability to accurately predict future events. In fact, God said that you might know that I am God and there is none like unto me. I declare to you the end from the beginning. In former times, I tell you things that are going to happen in the future, things that have not yet happened. And then throughout the Bible, all of the predictions. And as you sit down and as you look at that and as you realize that, yes, this is what it says and has said, and now we are seeing it, it makes you rationally say, this cannot be unless it is inspired by God. They couldn't have just written those things off the top of their head. It's God's word. And the rational mind, when making an honest study, will come to the conclusion that this is the word of God, that it spoke about a Messiah that would come, that he would suffer, but he would rise from the dead, and that Jesus is that Messiah. A person does not reject Jesus as their Messiah on intellectual grounds. There are other reasons. They don't want to see. There is an old proverb that says, none so blind as those who will not see. There are persons who minds are made up and they're determined that they won't believe. They will deny the evidence. They'll refuse to look at the evidence. It's sort of that old, don't confuse me with the facts because my mind is made up. But it's irrational. I can see why some people would not want to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, because of the lifestyle that they have chosen. And they realize that if they would receive Jesus as the Messiah, they'd have to change the way they're living. They love to cheat people. They love to steal. They love to pull off crooked, dishonest deals. And if they receive Jesus as Messiah, they'd have to stop cheating people and pulling off all these dishonest deals, and so they reject him. And they say, well, I believe we evolved. People who want to live in promiscuous sex, adultery, fornication, I can see why they wouldn't want to believe. The homosexuals, lesbians, I can see why they wouldn't want to believe. It would mean that they would have to change their lifestyle. They'd have to be true to one to whom they have committed their lives. They'd have to have a beautiful, loving family relationship in which to raise the children. And they want a party. They want multiplicity of partners and all. So I can understand why they would reject. I can understand why that person making a lot of money in prostitution would want to reject Jesus as Messiah. They're used to the high life. Or the same with a drug dealer. But to reject is irrational. Thus, you have to make up excuses. There is no reason, because it's unreasonable. But you make up excuses, such as, so many hypocrites in the church, I don't want to believe. Oh, that doesn't make sense. You don't like hypocrites? Don't you realize if you go to hell, you're going to spend eternity with hypocrites? I mean, what a poor excuse not to be a Christian. So we make excuses, but there are no reasons because it is irrational. Paul reasoned with them out of the scriptures. God said, come now, let us reason together. Because Jesus is the Messiah. And God has ordained that man, by believing in Jesus, can have forgiveness of his sins and renewed fellowship with the Creator. Used to be when I was still surfing, and that's been a few years now. But hopefully, I'm going to Hawaii in June, and I'm going to get out again. Hopefully, I don't know. But, you know, now with all the suntan, everything, it just takes away from what it used to be. It's just not, you know. But I used to tell the kids down at Huntington Pier when we were out there surfing, you're waiting for sets and there's time to talk back and forth. So these little kids that were down there just searching for life and all, ditching school, I used to tell them, hey, they'd say, oh man, what are you doing down here? I'd say, hey, I enjoy this more than you guys do. Ah. Oh, yes, I do. I said, I enjoy it more than you because I know the one who created the surf. While I'm out here, I'm just fellowshipping with him, having a great time, marveling at his creation. You guys are here because you're searching for life. I said, I've found life. This is just, you know, whipped cream on top. I'm not looking for it to fulfill me, you see. Because, you see, you're going to be mastered by something, somebody. You were created that way. And if Jesus isn't Lord, if he isn't the master of your life, then you're going to be mastered by something. Maybe your desire for pleasure. Maybe it's your desire to expand your understanding of life. Maybe it's the desire for power and possession. But there will be something that masters you. Now, the thing is, when we say that, you think, well, you know, no more fun if I accept Jesus. Wrong. More fun. Because you're not looking for fun to fulfill the void in your life. It's filled. And thus, everything else becomes super plus. No more intellectual quests. Wrong. More intellectual quests. Because you want to know more about the wisdom of the Creator as you study and analyze the various facets of creation and life. You get excited. I love to look at a microscope and look at the brain cells and see how they function. Oh, it's great because you think, wow, what design, what wisdom. And it just makes me stand all the more in awe of God. It makes sense. Paul reasoned with him. It makes sense. It doesn't make sense to reject him. That's an unreasonable position that you'll have to support with excuses and then you'll escape into nonsense. Come now, let's reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins have been as scarlet, you can be as white as snow. God will forgive, God will cleanse, because the Messiah died and rose again to give us life. Father, we thank you for the witness and testimony of the scriptures. your word that you inspired. Men have written through the anointing of the Holy Spirit and have given to us the record. And this is the record that you have given to us eternal life, and this life is in your Son. And he who has the Son has life. And Lord, we can bear witness to that record today. Having received your Son, Jesus Christ, we've received that life. That life in the Spirit, which brings us into fellowship with you, and how we love it and how we enjoy it, Lord. Communing with you, fellowshipping with you as you reveal yourself to us through your creation and through your word. Father, I pray for those here today whose minds may be clouded by Satan. They've been deceived, as the god of this world has blinded their eyes and keeps them from seeing the truth. God, take away the blinders today. Let them see the truth, Lord. Let them grasp the truth. In Jesus' name, Father, amen.